Well, I don't know what it would be like without him, but I don't want to find out either. I need him every hour, every day. And I'm so thankful that he promised to be there for me. Think about Ryder that said, "I will lift up mine eyes into the hills. From whence cometh my help? My help cometh from the Lord that made heaven and earth." That's where my help comes. That's where my strength and my grace comes every day. And I thank the Lord for that so much. I was thinking about us. Do you know we're very, very blessed people? We're blessed right here. Thinking about some of the news that we've been hearing lately, the situation down in Louisiana, southern Louisiana and areas that direction, there's a lot of people that's been misplaced from their homes. Had to get out. They had to leave and get to a place of safety, protection. Well, that's what's going on in Louisiana and out in California. 58 square miles, wildfires, run people out of their houses, melted their cars, done all kinds of terrible damage out there. Those people have had to get out of their homes too. They're people without a place, without their home. Saw some pictures recently of people over in Syria that had to flee their homes because of danger, because of men coming in to kill and to destroy and do damage to them. There's people all over the world today. There's a lot going on. People displaced out of their home. You and I are very blessed. I was thinking about that yesterday. You know, here we are sitting here, wife and I, in our homes. Some people had to leave for flooding. Some had to leave for fire. Some had to leave for danger. There's all kinds of unrest out in our world, and we still have a place of safety and comfort and protection. And I thank God for being good to me. The song says, "God is so good to me, and He is good to me." And I want Him to know that I appreciate that and His blessings. One writer in the book of Psalms says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance." And I'm glad He's my portion today. I'm thankful for the privilege to worship and honor Him. Try not to be up here too long this afternoon. Have a little something I'd like to pass on. Ask the Lord to bless it. Let's turn, if you have your Bibles, want to turn to Philippians, the book of Philippians, the first chapter. The Apostle Paul writing here, I think a lot of Brother Paul. I think about the time when he was walking on the road to Damascus. And he'd been out busy persecuting the church, getting men and women and taking them to prison because of their professed belief of Christianity, of Christ. And the Bible says he thought he was doing the Lord's work, thought he was doing the right thing. He thought he was. But he found out on the road to Damascus, when the Lord came and met him there and brought him down and humbled him there to the ground and took his sight away, he found out that who the real Jesus was. He found out who he was. He found out and met the very one that he had been persecuting. Boy, that was a day in Paul's life that changed him forever, wasn't it? It changed his life forever. It changed the man of who he was. He told us over here in the book of Philippians, he talks about his pedigree and how that he was well educated and came from good stock and came from the Jews and a Roman heritage and all those kind of things. But none of that meant anything to him after he met Jesus. We talked about Jesus this morning and his great salvation. We'll talk about him again, Jesus again this afternoon. Over here in the book of Philippians, the first chapter, and I want to do some reading here in the 12th verse. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I want us to think about for a little bit this afternoon about magnifying Christ. Magnifying. You know what happens when you get some fine print or something you can't see very well? You go get this magnifying glass and it enlarges it, doesn't it? Makes it look bigger. It helps you to be able to read it, or maybe help you get a splinter out of your finger, whatever it is that you need it for. But I want us to think about us magnifying Christ. Exalting Him, lifting Him up. I thought about my life. What good is my life? What's the purpose of my life? I believe the Lord desires that every one of us, and we do, have an effect on someone else. Someone is watching us. We might not even realize it. But there's somebody watching our lives. And you and I can make a difference in their life, in the way that we conduct ourselves, in the way that we might carry ourselves. It doesn't mean that I have to have a low self-esteem of who I am. It doesn't mean that I have to feel like I'm a nobody and I'm no account to anything. But what I want my life to be is a life that magnifies, glorifies, and uplifts Jesus Christ to a lost and a dying world. It may just be the family that's around me. Maybe all that it might affect. Then again, it may not affect them. It may be the neighbors. It may be the ones that I work with, those that I come across with daily. But my place, my desire, my purpose for my life. You ever ask yourself, what good is my life? What's my purpose? What am I living for? What is it that I want to accomplish? What is it that I want to really make out of myself or make out of my life? Every one of us has that choice. Every one of us choose every day what we do with our lives, how where we go and what we say and the attitudes that we take, the conduct that we have about us as we go about life. Every one of us have that. But what am I doing with my life? Is it making a difference? When I leave here, sometimes I've thought about it. When I leave here, probably won't have been that effective to others, but my desire is to try to be a blessing to others. My desire that my life would have a purpose. You know, when your life is all about you, I'm going to tell you something about that. You don't ever feel fulfilled. You're always seeking something else. When it's all about me, and that's the most important thing for me in my life, folks, I'll never be satisfied. I can only be satisfied when I'm reaching out and that I'm trying to help someone else, trying to be a blessing to someone else. That's what really satisfies. That's the way God made us, to want to be a blessing and to be a help to others. The Apostle Paul kind of saw that. The Lord, remember when the Lord told Ananias, when He sent him down to pray for him, He said, I've told him. Oh, you don't have to worry about Paul. I've told him the things he's going to suffer for my sake. I told him all about that. And Paul indeed suffered many things for Jesus' sake, didn't he? But he says here in the verse that we read, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified. Where? In my body. Whether it be by life or by death. Now Paul was in prison here. He wrote these letters in when he was in prison. And, you know, he just like anyone else, unless God revealed it to him ahead of time, he didn't know whether he was going to live or whether he was going to die. But he said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I'd like to pick this scripture apart just a little bit. He said, I would that you would understand, verse 12, our first verse that we read, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. That's all that Paul really seemed to live for. That's what meant the most to him, that it's not about me, it's not what happens to me, but it's that the gospel will be promoted. It's that Christ will be magnified and Christ will be lifted up. Paul was in prison, and all he was really interested in, as he was writing to the folks there at Philippi, that God would be glorified through whatever God permitted to him to go through. Well, he said here, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. Meaning that there could be two positive results out of me being in prison here in Rome. He said here that if I'm in prison here, he said, to the palace. In other words, Caesar's palace would learn the gospel from him while he was in prison. Might not have heard of any other way, but while he's in prison, he said here that but my bonds would be manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And when Paul was in prison there, we need to understand, there were many Roman Christians that were stirred to preach the gospel during his bondage. And he talks about that here. Others that were stirred and encouraged to preach the gospel while Paul was in prison. And he says that even that some of the preaching was through selfish ambition here. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Paul here said that some of the preaching that was being done there in Rome was through selfish ambition. There were some there that were jealous of Paul, and they enjoyed the fact that he was in prison and they were in the limelight. And they were out doing the work of the Lord. Paul was talking about these kind of things. But he said in verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding, in every way, it's not about me being in prison. It's really not about what they think that they are doing. But he said, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. See, that's what Paul's burden was. That's where Paul's heart was. That's what his desire was. Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He rejoiced that the gospel was being preached, whether it was for the wrong reason or the wrong or the right motive. The gospel was being preached. Do you know, have you ever heard it said that God will bless His Word no matter where it comes from? No matter who's preaching it, it's His Word and He has a right to bless it. He will bless the Word of truth. He may not necessarily bless the life of the one that's speaking it, but it's His Word. And He will bless it. And we do want to see the Word of God prosper. You know, every one of us have probably been in places where we've heard preachers up talking and they're kind of not getting things right. But when they read the Word of God, we can say amen to it. Because the Word of God is always truth, isn't it? And that's basically what Paul is saying here. Some of the preaching was selfish. Some of it was for the wrong motive. But he said the gospel was being preached. Christ was being magnified. Christ was being lifted up. That's what Paul was all about. What are you all about today? What are you all about? What is your ambitions? What is your goal? What is your purpose? What do you want to accomplish with your life? What are you all about today? Paul was all about lifting up and magnifying Christ. And I tell you, folks, that is the way that we can, only way that we can be successful. Truly successful in our walk with the Lord and our time here on this earth. God has chosen that you and I at this time would be together here on this earth. There's others that have gone on before us. There's maybe some that have come on behind us. But God has chosen at this time, you and I are here together. We are to support one another, encourage one another, bless one another, challenge one another, be a blessing to one another. Because we're here now. We're here at this time, in this time's world. So may the Lord help us today. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Paul, I believe, from reading this writing, that he still believed that God still had some preaching for him to do, and that he would be delivered out of prison. But I want you to look at his discourse. I want you to look at what he was saying to the people there. But if I live in the flesh, verse 22, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I wot not. I don't have that choice. Paul said, I'm not going to take my own life. If I live in the flesh, he said, that is the fruit of my labor. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. Now how many can truly say that? Oh, we can say, yeah, it sure would be better to be with Christ, but when the crisis comes, when the time comes where it looks like we're about to die, we really want to live, don't we? And I'm right there too. We all want to live. Everybody loves life, appreciates life, enjoys life, and we want to live. Paul was his main purpose. It affected his character. It affected who he was. It affected his mindset. See, that's the thing, the mindsets of the people today. It affected his mindset. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to leave, to die, and to be with Christ, which is far better. How many of us believe that to be far better? I believe it'd be far better than the pains and the sorrows and the sufferings that we have in this time's world. But he submitted it all to God. And he said, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. He's still here. He's still talking about, with his life, magnifying Christ. What is he's talking to him and he's kind of working it out in his mind. What is the best way that I can magnify Christ? Is it better? Could I do better by dying, or would it be better if I live? And he said, and having this confidence, verse 25, verse 24, nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your faithful furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He felt like the Lord had showed him that it would be better. That if he lived a little while longer, that he could be a blessing to the folks there at Philippi. And there were many others, of course. As Paul's labors went on before before the Lord allowed them to take his life. But it was all for the furtherance of the gospel. It was all to glorify God. And you know, I realize as I look back upon my own life, there had to be a process that the Lord had to bring me through. There had to be a process where, you know, I had a lot of responsibility, family responsibility, a lot of duties responsibilities, and work responsibilities and things to deal with in life. But there has to be a process that the Lord will bring us through to help us to come to the place and realize, what are we really here for? We're here to magnify God. We're here to lift up Christ to a lost and a dying world. Paul said, it'd be much better for me if I went on. But folks, what about those around us? What about our lost loved ones? What about those that maybe don't understand or don't know the truth? Maybe there's still some hungry souls out there that still want to hear the truth. I believe there is. He said, it's better for me to abide in the flesh. It's more needful that the gospel would go forth, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ by me coming to you again. So Lord, help us to have the mindset that Paul had here. Let's reflect. What am I here for? What am I doing? What are my accomplishments? Who am I? What does God want to do with me? And how does He do that? How does He work for me? What's He allow? What does He bring me through? He doesn't bring you through the same places He brings me. We all come through different places because we're all of different personalities. We're all of different understanding. We're all of different backgrounds. God takes all that in consideration, doesn't He? But it really comes down to us and our free will and the choices that God allows us to make for our own selves and for our own souls. My choice today and my desire more and more is, like Paul, that Christ would be magnified. Sometimes I've been in places, was last fall when chest pains were hurting real bad, and I told the Lord, I said, you know, Lord, heaven's looking pretty good. It's looking pretty good. If you want to take us on out of here, I'm all for it. But I said, Lord, I got a meeting in a couple of weeks in Duncannon. If you're not going to take me out, I need you to touch my body. And He touched my body. Blessed us to be able to deal with the meeting. Whatever it takes, folks, to glorify God. Lord, help us as His people not to be selfish people. Not to be all about myself. All about what I need and all about what I want. Sometimes we just have to get out of our comfort zones. We have to get out, as I talk about my recliner sometimes. We got to get out of our recliners. And we got to get out there and do what God wants us to do and what we need to do to lift Him up to a lost and a dying world. It's kind of hard to do it from a recliner sometimes. Lord, help us. We can write letters. We can make phone calls. We can do different things. But it's important that Christ is magnified. When Christ is magnified, He is brought to a clearer and a larger focus, or of a greater understanding to others. When we can truly magnify, this is who Christ is. This is what Christ represents. This is the fruit that Christ bears. We've been hearing about the fruit in Sunday school. This is the fruit of Christ. This magnifies Christ. It lifts Him up. It exalts Him and gives a greater understanding to others. Oh, this is who He really is. It isn't just a name. It isn't just someone that we heard that was born of a virgin birth and they crucified Him and He rose again. There's more to Him than that, isn't there? You and I are to lift that up, magnify Him to this lost world. It is important. It should be important to us that man understand God's ways and that man understands His will. Let's think about that for a second. When we understand the Lord's will, when we learn to love Him in a greater way. When we're willing to humble ourselves and obey Him and serve Him, that He could be glorified, look at the effect that it's going to have on my personal life. When I entreat the Lord that way, when I seek Him that way with all of my heart, folks, it brings me to my heart, I wouldn't want to do anything to grieve Him. I wouldn't want to do anything to hurt Him. I wouldn't want to bring anything in my life. I wouldn't want to say anything. I wouldn't want to do anything. I wouldn't want to go anywhere that would hurt Him when I truly have Him lifted up and I truly love Him and obey Him and have that intimate relationship with Him. I was in a place yesterday. Some of you know I go to the gym when the men's day. And there was a couple guys talking about being retired, how nice it is and all that, and I agreed with all that. One of them said, well, it's best to stay busy than sit around and watch TV all day. And I said, I haven't had a TV in my home in 30 years. What? 30 years? I said, 30 years. Haven't had a TV in my home. Nor do I want one. I said, probably I could go out and buy the nicest, finest TV I wanted if I wanted it. But I don't want one of those things in my home. One of them said something about it kind of dumbs people down today. And I said, I'm already about as dumb as you can get, so I don't need that to help me get any dumber. They said, well, I'm proud of you. How do you do it? I said, it isn't hard at all. It isn't hard at all. I don't bring that trash in my home. I don't need to see it. Don't want to see it. There's too many other things to do. Meditate and pray. You know, I feel like in the last several while now that I truly am at that place where I'm praying without ceasing. All day long, praying for someone or thanking God for something. Praying without ceasing. Folks, when we get in that kind of an intimate relationship with God, you can feel His presence. He comes down and He meets you. You read the Word of God and He inspires it to your heart. What do you need with a TV, folks? He comes down and He blesses your soul. And He magnifies His name through your life, and you can lift Him up to a dark world, and you want to live in such a way that you don't want to grieve Him in any way. I don't want to hide anything in my closet. I don't want to hide anything in my life that would grieve Him because I love Him. Because when I go to lift up Christ, folks, I want to do it with an open heart. With an open mind. I want to do it honestly. It's the only way it's really going to work, isn't it? In lifting up Christ. Folks, if there ever was a time that we need to lift up Christ, it's now. I mean, it started a long time ago, but oh, now we really, really need to lift up Christ to a lost and a dying world. I want to be one of those that lift Him up. That magnifies Christ in my life. Then, in the 27th verse, the Apostle Paul now turns to our Christian conduct. After he has this discourse about whether to live or whether to die, oh, he wants to die and go on and be with Christ. But he said, for you it'd be better if I lived for the furtherance and the joy of the gospel and of the faith. But he said, only now it's our turn. Paul says to the Philippians, now it's your turn. I'm going to give you some counsel. Only let your conversation, your conduct, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. The only way we can magnify Him, folks, The only way we can do it. Let your conduct be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit. Oh Lord, help us today. One mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. It doesn't say you doing your thing, me doing mine, but working together for the furtherance of the faith and of the gospel of Christ. In nothing terrified by your adversaries. Folks, Lord help us. I know sometimes when we're together with people, it's hard. The devil's always wanting to get in things. He's always wanting to stir up strife, isn't he? But Lord help you and I when we see the devil doing these things. This has to do with our Christian conduct. Do away with your petty grievances. Do away with the jealousies and the disunity. Strive together, Paul said. Work this thing together. I like to tell people, you know, you got unforgiveness? Yeah, I do. I can't forgive them. You got hatred? Yeah, I do. I said, what are you going to do with it when you get to the grave? It won't do any good in the grave. You can hold it here all you want, but in the grave it means absolutely nothing. When it gets to the grave, it means that your soul has went to meet its maker, to meet the judge of all men. So Lord, help us tonight. These things are essential if our life and labors are to benefit the gospel, for the gospel's sake. It says over here in the second chapter, the 14th verse, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless. Can we live blameless? Can we? Is it possible? Now, the devil doesn't like it, but I don't believe the Lord would tell us to do something that He couldn't give us the grace to do it. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Folks, you and I can do the greatest harm to the gospel by going out and testifying of who we are and what a great conversion we've had and what a great person we are and the life that we live in Christ, and act out in horrible ways that others see it. Because you go out and make testimonies like that, they're going to wait till you get done to tell you what they just saw you do. Lord, help us. Brings a reproach on the cause of God, doesn't it? Paul said, and I want to read that part again, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. That's in our body. How we conduct ourselves. The attitudes we take with our loved ones, as we heard this morning, with our enemies, and those that despitefully use you. You want to see one of your closest enemies? Go look in the mirror. You'll see one of your closest enemies. Seems like we're our own worst enemy sometimes. Lord, help us to keep under our bodies and bring it into subjection. Holding forth. Oh, and he said, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. That's where to shine, to lift up and magnify Christ, aren't we? That's what Paul's world was all about now. That's what his life was all about. He didn't care about dying. He wanted Christ to be magnified. Lord, whatever you purpose, you work in my life, it's to your glory. It's to your honor, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and the service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. I thank the Lord today that we can rejoice in lifting up Jesus Christ. We can rejoice walking a Christian walk with the conduct that will magnify Christ in everything we say and everything we do and every place that we go. I didn't preach to those fellows all about the TV and all that stuff. I just wanted to put my little 2 cents in. And they was talking about how important the TV was. I told them how important it was to me. That's how important it is to me. That's how important the world has become to me, folks. I don't need it. Using it, but not abusing it, the Scripture says. I'd like to read another Scripture before I close. In Ephesians, it's a very familiar chapter, very familiar reading. I'd like to read Ephesians verse, or fourth chapter of Ephesians. Begin right at the first verse. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul is a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Folks, if you're going to get in this thing, get in with your whole heart. Get in it with your whole heart. I've worked in the trades for 30 years. I worked with fellows that had the same title I did and didn't hardly have a clue what they were doing when they sent out to do a job. Some people just go along just to try to make it. Lord, help you and I walk worthy. Magnify Christ. Lift Him up with your life. Let your conversation, your conduct be exemplary. Where men that would speak evil of you are not able to speak evil at all. Can we live that way? I believe we can. With all lowliness, meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. Sometimes we gotta put those bears in there, don't we? We gotta bear and we gotta forbear one another. Sometimes there's those EGR people that we come across that we need extra grace in order to be able to work with them, deal with them, fellowship them. But you know who the Lord made? He made every one of us. He made every one of us. That one you may drop your eye on sometime, have a little problem with, He made him too. And He made you too. So He said, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing, bear and forbear, folks, one another in love, endeavoring, that's something we've got to work for, isn't it? Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. God will give us grace, folks, to live this way. Live a holy way. Do you know holiness? The world is so far outside of the realm of God, outside of the boundary that God set forth in His Word for mankind, holiness is nothing but a foreign word. It's a foreign thought. It's ridiculous to the world that we live in today when you tell them that God still expects us or requires us, according to His Word, to live a holy life. It's foreign. I don't know what you're talking about. But the Bible still teaches it. Obadiah says on Mount Zion, Obadiah 17th verse, upon Mount Zion there shall be holiness. It's going to be there, folks. That's what it's going to take to magnify Christ, is you and I living a holy life, no matter how foreign it is to our world today. There shall be holiness. And he went on to say, there shall be deliverance, thank the Lord. Every one of us had to be delivered before we could live a holy life. But there's deliverance in Mount Zion. And he said, the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. God has something for us to possess, folks. We're going to have to work for it. Strive together for it. Work together. Be of the same mind, he said here. Endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit, he said here. And then he said in verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then he went on to say in verse 16, from whom the whole body, that'd be the church, wouldn't it? Fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Each one of us have a part to play in this. We all have a part to play in this. You go and have you ever sat down and listened to an orchestra play? You just let one of those violins players decide to play their own thing and see what happens to the rest of the music. You just let one decide to do what they want to do instead of following the conductor and see what happens to the music. It'll be discord, disharmony, it'll be a mess. The whole body fitly joined together and compacted by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. God, make God be working in every one of us. To the effecting in our lives that we magnify and lift up His heavenly Holy Son, Jesus Christ. He maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God joins His people together and unifies them by divinely ordained spiritual gifts by His Spirit, all for the growth and the development of the church. It's all for the benefit of the church, folks. That's how we magnify God. The church is set to magnify God. You and I are the church. So what are we doing today? How are we handling our little part? Sometimes we don't feel like much. I surely don't. But folks, we all have our little part. We have a part to play in this. As we come together, work together, strive together for the faith of the gospel, Paul said, that we might magnify Jesus. Whatever it takes, Lord. The song says, that's what I'm willing to do. Whatever it takes. He knows what it's going to take. He knows what to bring us through to get us there, folks. Lord, help us to be faithful. Lord, help us to follow Him. Wait on Him. Be led of the Spirit. Folks, I want to tell you, this thing will work to such beauty and to such perfection that we can lift up and magnify a risen Savior to a lost and a dying world. May the Lord bless each one of us. Amen.